Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. I am here with a little bit less than 100% of the voice, but you can hear me just fine, hopefully, and perhaps it adds a little bit to my content, but we'll see. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. With me this week is my friend Alex. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing very well.
Good, good, good. Glad to hear that. Where do we start? Let's start with baseball, since it's what's on everybody's mind. You know, there are some other playoffs going on. We'll get to those momentarily, but I think we should start with baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to start with my favorite team, the New York Mets, and their pitchers becoming home run hitters. Of course, I'm referring back to Bartolo Colon, the man known as Big Sexy amongst fans, and sometimes he's called the new fat toad by some detractors. But he's a unique, one-of-a-kind 42-year-old guy with much more than a dad bod, and who's playing professional baseball and now hitting home runs. You might have seen him online with his helmet flying off as he swings and misses at pitches from a couple years ago, or making behind-the-back catches and flips, and now he can add a home run to that.
It was such an impressive feat, he even made the BBC news desk. International media attention.
I believe he's now also the old. He set history by being the oldest hitter, either hitter or pitcher.
Oldest first-time home run maker.
He was the oldest when he hit his first home run, which is unbelievable. And it was just high and deep. Yep. And he's, you know, with baseball, just if you've done any sort of elementary science and you know about simple machines and you know about levers and you know about, you know, that the bat is the fulcrum, you know, basically you holding the bat is the fulcrum and you try to hit the ball and all that stuff. And that it can, you know, just hitting it the right way can make it go really far.
Yeah. And it is impressive for a 42-year-old to not accidentally luck into the right way at some point.
Before that.
Yeah.
Well, pitching in the American League, you know, didn't allow him to do it for so long. Yeah. And now that he's been in the National League last couple of seasons with the Mets, it's, again, mainly just been him swinging and missing and his helmet flying off and him just having fun with it and not really caring how ridiculous he looks. And that sort of ingratiated him to fans across the country and the globe. So that was a big deal. And then just a couple nights ago from recording this, Noah Syndergaard, the Mets young pitcher, who with his long blonde hair and his last name with double A's in the middle, have given rise to the nickname of Thor.
Mm-hmm.
So him hitting two home runs in one game, in a game he won as a pitcher, another wonderful feat that it doesn't happen very often, but still impressive.
Yep.
And the Mets were able, because of that, and basically home runs along the way in the month of May, or actually April, 40 home runs in the month of April for the Mets, which is a club record. They were able to move into first place in the National League East.
Mm-hmm.
And actually home runs around the league have jumped to incredible leaps in terms of the amounts of home runs hit this early in the season.
What do you put that down to?
Well, the conspiracy theorists will say a juiced ball. I have a theory that, okay, so what's the difference between why are there home runs now and not last season at this point in the year? Well, it can't all be weather related because they're not all getting hit out in Colorado or other places. They're actually being hit out in stadiums that don't usually give up a lot of home runs. Specifically, Citi Field is one example I can think of. Even San Diego. I mean, Bartolo Colon hit a home run in San Diego, which, no, it's very hard to hit home runs out there. And one way to do it scientifically is a ball comes in faster. If there's even a half of a mile an hour difference coming in towards the plate when it's being hit, it will go, like, I think 10, 20 feet further. Mm-hmm. So with all these young pitchers in the game, I think it's the average, maybe not the specific average fastball mile an hour has raised across the league, but I think because of so many young, hard-throwing pitchers, I think that that has added to the more home runs. That's just a theory. I'm not a scientist.
I mean, it seems reasonable. It seems more reasonable than spiked balls.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's already the core of a baseball is a Super Bowl, is one of the ones you would play like jacks with, or you would throw on the ground to see how high you could get it. That's at the core of the baseball. So how you make that even more susceptible to flying
being
out,
hit, yeah.
I don't know, and I'll never know.
Why the bat gauge?
I don't know, because that's held to a very strict standard in terms of width, because it also has to be the weight and the length has to be within a certain number. Mm. Like a 32-ounce bat has to be like 32 inches long or something akin to that. So, but no, it can't really be wider. Because even if it's wider, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go out farther.
Yeah, I don't know. If you rocked up to the plate with a cricket bat, you might hit a few more home runs.
You might. You might. But and if you're not trying to bounce it on the ground,
yeah.
we'll see what happens. Boy, those cricket hurlers, really, they throw some funky arm angles.
Straight at your head.
And just the way that their arm curls back. Like, I'm amazed, like, how they get any sort of, I don't know.
It's a very different sport.
Yes. I do enjoy it from time to time. It's almost something I enjoy. Not this isn't a comment on the sport of cricket, but when I'm just laying down and kind of going, you know, mind blank, maybe looking for a nap, not to say it will put me asleep, but it's like, ooh, I don't have to look too hard at one thing or pay attention. I'm asleep.
I'm not going to lie to you that you may be making a comment on the sport there, and I don't think they particularly mind it.
No,
I think that is an accepted part of enjoying cricket.
All right, fair enough.
It's like, how into a game of cricket are you going to get when they can play for 5 days and the result is still a tie?
That's unbelievable. It really is. It is strange that way. So so that's with the Mets going on there. The Chicago Cubs are off to an amazing start. I think they're,
26-8.
My gosh. That hasn't been done since like the mid-80s with the Tigers when they were 35-5 on their way to the World Series, 84 that year. And the Cubs are looking really strong. My father had told me that if you were to put a bet on the Cubs right now, even with their hot start, if you put a bet of 100 on them, you'd be plus 240. Now, why, for a team with that good of a start, how can you say that you're, how are they not the favorite?
It's the GOAT.
Exactly. It's the GOAT. Exactly, because history tells you, you bet on them, you're probably going to lose. So they need to make those, good odds.
Yeah.
Good odds. So that's something I would even do. I'm not a Cub fan.
Put a fiver on it.
Yeah. Do it. Just 10. What's the worst that could happen? You win $24? I mean, come on. So that's a big thing in baseball. But I want to get really quickly to the playoffs, the hockey and basketball playoffs. Let's start with the NBA playoffs. And something that really just happened very recently, actually, which was the San Antonio Spurs, which only had one loss during their season, one loss at home. And they were fighting most of the season, the Golden State Warriors, for the best record all time, which the Warriors got at 72-9, or 73-9.
73, yeah.
The Spurs lost in the second round to the Oklahoma City Thunder, losing, if I remember correctly, two games at home.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, I think they might have even lost three games at home, but two games at home for sure. For when they only lost one game at home. That's unbelievable.
Yep.
You know, and everybody's talking about how because the West is so tough, and it is, with the Golden State Warriors and the San Antonio Spurs, the third seeded Oklahoma City Thunder was basically an afterthought, and here they come, beating San Antonio. And now they have to go play the Warriors. So it doesn't get any. Congratulations. You beat the Spurs. Here are the Warriors.
You beat the second best team. Now face
the best team. The best team record-wise of all time.
Of all time.
And the defending champs. Good luck, Kevin
Durant. And Steph Curry's back.
Steph Curry's back. And he came back after being gone with a strained hamstring.
Strained ligament.
Something
torsion
in his
bruise leg.
He comes back, scores 17 points in overtime. By the way, they only play 5 minutes in overtime.
Yeah.
And he scored 17 points.
He outscored the other team by 17-14.
You would be you'd be lucky if you're an average player to score 17 points in one quarter, like one half.
Yep.
I mean, but this is less than a quarter. 5 minutes, 17 points. That's unbelievable.
I saw a great quote that was saying, back in the day, we used to have the playbook of, does your best player have the ball? Then he shoots. Does your best player not have the ball? Then pass the ball to that player.
Yeah.
And the coach of the Golden State Warriors just said, "That we went to that playbook."
Yes.
And it worked.
It worked. My God, my goodness, it worked. Well, Portland was over in their head. Anybody that Golden State was going to play. I mean, it's amazing that both Houston and Portland got at least one loss out of them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say the Thunder are going to beat the Warriors. I'm crazy, but I'm not dumb. I don't think if they do, it's going to be seven games, obviously, because that series is going to start soon. But gosh, how do you go against the Warriors? They're too good. I would love to see Oklahoma City pull one off, but you can't.
Would it be wrong to suggest you Nancy Kerrigan, Steph Curry? Is that the only hope you have?
Why? It didn't help Houston. Didn't help them at all. They won one game. Didn't help them even with, you know,
very true.
Facing off against without Curry. So, but no, you can't stop them. The only ones that could maybe stop them is in the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are again in the conference finals and probably will go to the NBA finals. But right now they have to wait on either the Raptors or the Heat. As we record this, Toronto's got a 3-2 lead over the Heat. And the Raptors, finally, after winning their first playoff round in, I think, 10 years, was very impressive. And, you know, they beat the Pacers. And they're, so the first win in the playoffs, a playoff series in a very long time. And now they have to go play. They're playing Miami. They're handling them okay. Although it would be interesting to see Cleveland and Miami play, you know, LeBron versus Wade and Bosch and all that stuff. But I think I kind of want to see Toronto go. They're the 2 seed. But it's Cleveland. It's going to be Cleveland and Golden State. I think that's – everybody had that in the preseason. Everybody had that in the regular season. Now they're having that in the playoffs, it looks like.
Yeah. So it's still exciting, but not – there's no alternate narrative that anyone's really talking about.
We had the big shock, the Spurs losing in the second round. We had the big shock. So now, unless there's a bigger shock, just wake us up on the
Stranger
final.
Stranger things have happened.
Oh, my goodness. Like, oh, I don't know. Leicester.
Yeah.
Leicester City.
Yeah, Leicester City have happened.
They have to go play who? In the Champions League?
They might be up against Barcelona.
Oh, my
Real Madrid.
Oh.
Coming to the mighty Carrow Road.
Oh, my goodness. That's very sad.
Yeah.
Hey, we made it. Oh, no, we're going back.
Just imagine you're Cristiano Ronaldo playing in, like, 30-degree Spanish sun, 100,000 people watching every week, and then you have to turn up to rainy Midlands Leicester.
Why am I here?
What is going on?
Send me back.
Staying at the Travel Lodge.
Why am I here?
For your game time housing. Oh, God.
I know. So now we go over to the NHL playoffs, and I was very disappointed to see the Islanders lose. I kind of wanted them to go further, but... The Lightning had other plans, so now in the Eastern Conference, it's the Lightning and the Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see the Penguins go. I prefer them over Tampa Bay. Just, I don't know, something about the draw of the Pittsburgh Penguins with Lemieux and Jagr, even though he's still playing, to, you know, now to Sid the Kid and all that stuff, Crosby.
Yeah. I do have a soft spot for Jagr. I just think he just plays the right way.
I hope he goes back to Pittsburgh, actually. That'd be a good, nice cycle of him going back. And then the Western Conference, we have the Blues and the Sharks. San Jose, pretty much since their inception, have constantly made the playoffs, been the top seed, winning the President's Trophy and all this stuff, and always, always lose. So I think this would be great for them to go to the finals. Penguins, Sharks. I mean, that just sounds good. Penguins and Sharks. It's an aquarium's dream. Aquarium's dream. So.
Yeah. It's hard. I don't really have a dog in the fight anymore. It's hard to get excited about it, but there should be some good games to watch.
But I will say, in the Western Conference final, in the Western Conference so far, especially the last two rounds, all game sevens.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 playoff playoff rounds or six playoff matchups, four of them went to a game seven. And game sevens in hockey are the best game sevens. Over basketball, over baseball, hockey is the best. So, I mean, if nothing else, it also shows you how good these teams are, that they're evenly matched.
You're not seeing, like, the 4-0s, 4-1s.
No, that's what the Eastern Conference is. All of them are. Three of them were 4-2, and the other three were 4-1. Yeah. So, I mean, that just shows you how that's going over there, so. So that's the NHL hockey. I hope Penguins and Sharks. Again, sounds good.
Yep.
I want to talk about the upcoming 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio. And who was the player? I forget his name. But basically, a famous Brazilian soccer player saying, stay at home.
Stay at home.
Don't come down.
Yeah. You have the WHO saying it could spark an international health crisis.
Oh, my gosh.
The swimmers risking swimming in open water, swimmers swimming in sewage polluted water.
It's
weird. Like, it snuck up on me when you saw the announcement. It's 100 days. They're 100 days away.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. And it's gonna come up really quickly. And I mean, when is their pull? Like, all joking aside, when is the last possible moment where the IOC can go, no?
I think it's past?
Oh,
I don't, like, who puts on it took London like 8 years to put on the Olympics to this.
And
I mean, the only thing I'd say is the same things were being said about the Rio Olympics that were being said about the Rio World Cup. And for all the economic damage that did to Brazil,
right,
all the athletes and all the event went off fine.
True. However, a couple things. Number one, with the World Cup, it was the whole country. It was not one city. Now, granted, you know, not all the events take place in one city.
Yeah.
In Sochi Olympic, it didn't all just take place in Sochi, Russia.
The one tiny.
Right. Yeah. There was other places that it went to. You know, it branched out. But it was still in the general area. Whereas the World Cup was the whole country. Mm. You know, up in Rio. It was down in Rio. It was over in Brasilia,
Porto Alegre.
It was all over the place.
And it's also
spread out.
Football is also one of Brazil's, if not the major sport in Brazil.
Gosh, yes.
So they already have the infrastructure of football stadiums.
Right.
How many velodromes do you think Brazil has?
None.
How many Olympic grade weightlifting facilities does Brazil have?
The diving houses and all that stuff. Yeah, that's the other thing. With as you were saying, they had the football, they had the soccer stadiums, they had those stadiums up and ready to go. It's not that difficult to do that. But when you have so many different varied activities demanding all sorts of different locales in a smaller area than just the whole country. That's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Olympics is not the World Cup. Like, it's just that simple. But I'm so interested to see how this will go with all this. Now, going back to baseball for a second, because there was a series that was supposed to happen in Puerto Rico between two teams that they had to cancel because of the Zika virus scare. So none of the players wanted to go. None of the families of the players wanted to go to Puerto Rico for fear of that. So they had to cancel the series that was happening there. Do you know, I haven't heard anything about if Zika is a problem in Brazil, or would it be? It is. Okay, so then there you go.
It is one of the countries where it is most having an impact.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, and that's why you have like the WHO saying you suddenly have hundreds of people all over the world coming here for this event, getting infected, going back to their home countries, and then... This is how these epidemics start.
Yes, when it multiplies at a geometric rate, then it's a catastrophe type thing. So that'll be. It's both a you're watching for the car wreck, but you're also watching because it is the Olympics. I mean, how can you not get behind nationally?
Yeah,
everybody enjoys it. It's great. Yeah. It's great.
It's also a great exposure for those sports that you never knew were Olympic sports. Like every time Greco-Roman wrestling comes on, I'm like, oh,
that's awesome.
That's a thing.
Yes, judo.
They pull out the ball out of the bucket, and if they get the small one, they have to lie down on the ground for the man to come along. And it's just, you're just like, oh, yeah, this is an Olympic sport. And things like archery and fencing.
Fencing. There's, how about, shooting.
Like clay pigeon shooting.
Yes, there you go. And of course, in the Winter Olympics, it's, of course, everybody's favorite, curling.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
The British teams going strong.
Was it the triathlon where you ski and shoot and all that stuff?
Yeah, biathlon.
Yeah. Oops, sorry.
ski and shoot. Triathlon.
There's three of them, right? That's what happens. You have to shoot three bullets before you move on.
Ski and shoot and interpretive dance.
Pretty much.
Gymnastics.
Tell me I'm wrong.
That's another thing that you...
Tell me I'm wrong.
That's always enjoyable.
Well, gymnastics, that's the big one. That's what everybody watches. Because there's so much, you know, history with it, depending on your country. Of course, in the United States, Kerry Strug and all that stuff. So, as it gets closer, and if the country doesn't fall apart, we'll talk more about it. Once we get closer.
It'd be way too optimistic for me to suggest that we have some sort of tally bet UK versus US on this, because we're just going to get killed.
You're going to get killed. Look, first of all, the US always wins, usually the medal count in general. Now, let me ask you a question.
Let me pull up the London 2012 medal
all
table.
Right, sure.
Because I know we super overperformed because it's the Home Olympics.
Well, don't forget, the home country... has a representative in each event.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You know that there's no British Greco-Roman qualification process.
I don't think since the Dynamite Kid and Davey Boy Smith has there been a British wrestler that you can say, hey, there you go, right? I don't think the British Bulldogs. I think we're the last ones you go, hey, wait a minute.
Oh, man.
I mean, I think at this point, Sheamus is, if I may go
he's
WWE.
He's still flying that flag for the home aisles.
I guess. Wade Barrett isn't doing it for you guys. all right, well, let me ask you then, because I've had this conversation in the past with somebody I know, that the medal count is less important than the gold medal count. That the gold medal count is more important than the overall medal count.
Yeah.
How
many golds you get is the first port of call.
True. But I also consider, because there are only three medals you can win, and there are so many competitors, that I think that the medal count overall is just as important, especially when all it takes to go from silver to, gold to silver and silver to bronze is a very, it's very minuscule in terms of what can happen, you know?
Yeah. I mean, looking at the London 2012, first place you had the US with 46. And they also won the most medals overall, 103.
Right.
Then it's China with 38 and 88.
Right.
So 38 golds, 88 total.
Right.
Then it's the UK with 29 golds and 65 overall.
Right.
And then, as you say, it's Russia with 24 golds but 81 overall.
Right, exactly. Now the overall... is also probably related to the amount. Because when you see the Parade of Nations, when they first come in at the opening ceremonies, how many American athletes there are? Like, it's the whole...
Is it just a factor of population, the total medal count?
It probably is.
Yeah.
And I'm fully aware of that. But at the same time, you don't just get to go there on your merits. You get to go there on your ability, what you do in the
You're more likely to have an Olympic-caliber athlete in a sport that you are not known for if you have a huge population.
True.
Like, Britain has a history of cycling success.
Yes.
So
yes,
we are expected to do well in cycling.
Right.
You know what we're not expected to do well in? Anything else. rowing, perhaps.
Basketball. All that sort of stuff. But yes, of course.
Badminton.
Like, badminton. There you go. But yes, of course, America, you know, when they had baseball and softball, we were there. Basketball were there. You know, America's there for. And
I mean, what's surprising for me, just looking at that, is guess who number five is?
Of the 2012 medal count?
2012, yeah.
Norway.
South Korea.
Real? Oh, you know what? I can't.
All the archery. They just win archery.
That's right. You know what?
But
that's
again,
a good point.
Small population, but highly specialized Olympic
right.
history.
Like, they say in the Winter Olympics, Austria has, like, the most ski jumping.
Yeah.
Like, and like that's what they do.
Norway wins biathlon.
Right.
That's what Norway does.
Now, America, I think, has the overall medal count for the Summer Olympics. I think Norway is the most decorated winter country. Like, winter Olympics country.
Yeah.
Like, Norway has won the most Winter Olympic medals of all time over the United
States.
Seems
sensible.
Yeah, I think so. I've looked it up before. And meanwhile, in the Summer Olympics, America's number one in the summer and number two in the winter, if I remember. If I recall correctly, but I could be wrong. But that's why we do this. If I am wrong, please call 626-427-7678 and let me know I am wrong. So I want to get back to what we were talking about. We can continue on the Olympics if anything else catches your eye, but I want to talk about really quickly about some NFL news going on. I want to start with Rob Gronkowski is now the new is the cover athlete for Madden 2017. I think it is 16, 17.
Yeah, 17. What year is it?
Well, it's for
is it over yet?
It's for the future year, so
yeah,
2017.
Yep.
I believe in the Madden curse. Do you believe in the Madden curse?
No.
All right. Well,
I do believe in the UFC curse,
which is
the same as the Madden curse for UFC. Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor.
Ah, there you go.
So that's the UFC curse,
right? Well, let's just let's go back in recent years. Do you know who last year's was? Who was the cover for?
Was it Marshawn Lynch?
No.
Was it Paxton Lynch? No. Who was the Cleveland Browns running back that I'm remembering?
Oh, Trent Richardson. No,
the white fullback that played running back.
Oh, Peyton Hillis.
Sorry, I knew it was Peyton.
That was 2012.
Strong.
Now,
career
that of course, 2000. Let's go in reverse, shall we? What was last year's was Odell Beckham Jr. Tell me, what was the highlight of Odell Beckham Jr.'s season last year?
I can tell you the low light, which may be your highlight.
It's the same thing. What was the most noteworthy thing he did all season?
Try and decapitate Josh Norman.
You've got it. Ding, ding, ding. Throwing his brain cells away over a tift, a pregame shoe tift.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's number one. How about the one before that? It was Richard Sherman. Not only did he get embarrassed on the sideline of the Super Bowl saying, "Oh man, why'd you throw it?" He also had a Tommy John surgery in the offseason. Before that...
It's not looking good.
Before that, year before, 2014, Adrian Peterson.
Oh.
Take a guess. Yeah. Take a guess.
Missed the season.
Ding,
child
ding,
abuse.
Ding. Well, he was suspended one game.
Oh, was he just one game?
I'm sorry. One game at the end of the season. And then the rest of the season. Yes. So, yes, child abuse. And then we will. I don't have who 2013 was on. I think that's because it was the 50th anniversary. I think
is that where they?
Did
they have
50th
both?
Anniversary? What am I talking?
Did they have both? It was like Larry Fitzgerald and Troy Polamalu. Was that 2011?
Yes, yes, yes. I believe so. It was something like that.
The Madden curse hasn't struck Fitz 3 years on. He was looking pretty good this last.
I'm sorry. Calvin Johnson. Apparently, Calvin Johnson escaped.
He escaped.
He escaped. All right, and then we'll go. We'll kind of stop it at 2012, because then you're starting to really, I mean, you can look it up. It's very simple to see. Somebody's actually put together a year by year version. But
did they get hit? Did they not get hit?
Well, 2012 is Peyton Hillis. Yeah. And we know that, hey, he had a great year. And then he fell off the earth
ever again.
Drew Brees in 2011, that was the year they went 7-9 and gotten, they made the playoffs and lost in the earthquake game with Marshawn Lynch. Yeah. Okay, and then you have Troy Polamalu and Fitzgerald. Actually, let's see. Troy Polamalu suffered a sprained MCL, and Larry Fitzgerald was fine. Brett Favre was 2009, and that was the, let's see, what year was that? Oh, well, that was the year that, he sent out some text messages while with the Jets.
Oh, man, sorry, I just looked up what my first Madden cover was.
What's that?
It was Marshall Faulk in 2003.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at Marshall.
That's a good knowledge.
Marshall Faulk had a ankle injury that forced him to miss 5 games. He never again rushed for over 1,000 yards.
Okay.
And the following year, 2004, Michael Vick. 5 days after they released the cover as him as the cover man, he got injured in the preseason against the Ravens. And then
2007.
Right. Later on, he went to jail.
This is a distressing who's who of some of the biggest. Vince Young in 2008.
When he got upset and he went home to mom. And he said, I'm not winning.
Lost his starting job. Oh, my. Oh, man. Okay, you may have swung me. The evidence seems to suggest you're totally
I think the
on
only
the
one
money.
I'm looking at the list again, the only one who really kind of escaped, as silly as it sounds, because he did his damage before, was Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis. Some critics of The Curse say that Ray Lewis's cursed season is highly overblown from 2005. That's because he escaped murder charges in 1999, so he was able to make it through.
Yeah. I mean, Drew Brees is still going strong.
No, he is.
Larry Fitzgerald had a good season. Troy Polamalu.
Look,
that defense went through a bit of trouble, but is now starting to come back.
I believe in the curse. And you know why I believe in the curse? Because I'm so excited to see a Patriots player on the cover. Because that means that either something's going to happen to Gronk, who already broke his forearm on a extra point attempt when it was back at the 2-yard line.
So
also his knee injuries. Or anything else that could happen to that franchise, me being a Jet fan, I'm more than happy to see.
I think the only thing that could be better for you would be like a Brady Gronk double
cover. Oh my goodness. If it was Brady throwing to Gronk on the cover, I would have to then go down to, you know.
Sacrifice something to some god somewhere.
I'd give my father 100 and say, lay it on the Jets odds to make the Super Bowl or something like that. Like, it can't get better for me.
Buy the lottery ticket.
So that's what I want to share about that. And Oh, and my favorite part, did we go over it? That the Brady's suspension has been reinstated.
Yeah. The Court for Arbitration for Sport has said, who ruled on this? I can't remember.
A higher circuit court said that, look, we're not commenting on if you did it or not, but however, you're a part of a union that said this guy with this nice suit and awful hair is the one who says if you have to sit out 4 games, and he said you have to sit out 4 games. Sorry.
You just said awful suit and nice suit and awful hair, and I thought you were getting into politics then.
Well.
a sharp left-hand turn into politics.
People, you have had enough of that in your life. Once you turn this podcast off, you're going to go back to listen to that. Just don't. I'll give you an escape from that for right now. We'll make the jokes, but come on, you don't want to hear what we have to say. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what I say. Nobody cares
the guy who can't vote.
True.
Where's all this like no representation without taxation gone? I thought that was the whole deal.
That's why we kicked you out.
But now I'm here again, paying my taxes, and I don't get a vote.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, whatever.
It's what happens. But you get to enjoy our summer and fireworks. So there you go.
Very true.
All right. Well, Alex, thank you again for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming and listening again. You can like us on Facebook, but my friend Andrew's going to tell you all about that, as he always does at the end of here. And but you can call us at 626-427-7678. 626-427-7678. And you can follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. Thank you again, and Andrew Danish, if you please take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.